I'll make eye contact
with Ty.
Go. All right. Then do I get to do this?
You do it.
Today is Monday, April 27th, 2015, and I call to order the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. So we're going to start. Where's the sergeant at arms? Oh, perfect. Open public hearing on here. Public hearing on Senate Bill 616A. Can we have the summary? A summary of the bill, please?
Certainly.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, Senate Bill 616A directs Secretary of State to investigate community housing trust account with coordination from Department of Human Services, outline focus of investigation, requires development of investment strategy, and report to Legislative Assembly by February 1st, 2016, declares emergency effective on passage. Since this is a Senate bill, the first Senate bill that we've heard, just so all of you know, the revenue and fiscal paperwork has been issued. And from the previous committee, the issues that were discussed were the history of the Fairview Trust, distinct from general fund, and the Secretary of State's existing auditor role. So that is what I can share with you.
Okay, thank you. Senator Gelser, would you like to come up?
Good afternoon, Vice Chair Peluso, Chair Kenny Geyer, and members of the committee. For your record, my name is Sarah Gelser. I'm the state senator from Corvallis and Albany, which is Senate District 8. And I have to say, the House is really tricking me today because every House committee I go to, the Vice Chair is chairing the committee and the chair is sitting next to her. And so I'm practicing getting all.
We're very collaborative on this side.
Yes, I miss you. So thank you for taking time to hear Senate Bill 616. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the mechanics of what the bill does, and then secondly, why the bill is so important and why the issues around it are so important. With the closure of the Fairview Training Center, the Fairview Housing Trust was established. That is not the legal name for it. That's just what the community tends to refer to it as. And the Fairview Housing Trust was a promise to the community that we would work to make it possible for people with disabilities to live in the community by having a funding source to provide access to affordable and accessible housing. The way that the trust was supposed to be administered was that the interest off of that trust could be used to make these housing improvements or to address housing needs. The corpus of the trust could not be touched, and that is the only thing that the trust could be used for. Unfortunately, a couple of things have occurred that have undermined that promise and that commitment. The first is that there are some errors in the way that the trust has been invested. It was invested with an investment strategy that really produced very, 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 very small amounts of interest that haven't been enough to make significant investments. And that caused a problem for the trust. It caused it to just kind of sit there for a while. So as the state struggled through some budget reductions and looking at shortfalls in DHS, I think that people were looking at that money just sitting there thinking, why is it just sitting there when we could spend it on services? And the trust was violated, and the legislature last session took about $6 million out of the trust to pay for services. When that money was taken out, it was described as a loan, that we would pay that $6 million back. Instead, the former governor's proposed budget proposed to take the remaining $6 million out of the Fairview Housing Trust and simply zero it out. That is an issue that will be discussed in the Ways and Means Committee. It still rests in the governor's proposed budget. I believe that absolutely cannot and should not happen. We cannot be in the business of breaking promises to people, especially about something that's so important. When I worked at the Department of Human Services, Seniors and People with Disabilities, I had the opportunity to serve on the grant committee for the Fairview Housing Trust, and the stories that we would get, the types of things that people applied for funding for were overwhelming. And the one that really sticks in my mind was a mother who was in her 80s, and she was still caring for her adult son at home, and she wanted funding for an accessible bathtub because in her 80s, she alone was lifting her son, who was in his 60s, into the bathtub, pulling him over the edge, climbing into the bathtub with him so that she could bathe him. And as an octogenarian, this was getting to be pretty tough, and she needed some assistance. So those are the types of things that can do. This bill will work in concert with another bill that's sitting in Ways and Means. This bill does two things. One, it asks the Secretary of State to do an audit of the historical expenditures of the fund to see if it has been consistent with statute. And secondly, it makes the statutory change necessary for the Treasurer's Office to invest this in a better way so that it does yield interest that can be used for these purposes. There's a task force bill in the Ways and Means Committee that looks at creating a housing task force, a Fairview Housing Trust task force, to look at strategies for better developing affordable housing opportunities for people with developmental disabilities across the state of Oregon. It's a very collaborative task force that brings in our housing partners and looks at long-term affordable housing stock. And I think that Leslie Sutton will be able to talk with you a little bit more about those details. But I wanted to close by reminding you a little bit about why this trust is so important and why it's so sacred to the people that have probably come to talk to you about it. Living in an institution is not a great thing. We are so fortunate in Oregon that we have eliminated our institutions for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. Unfortunately, across the country, there are thousands of adults and children with intellectual and developmental disabilities that are waiting to be freed from these institutions. They're basically locked up like inmates for the crime of being born with a disability. This history for us, even though it's closed, is very, very recent. And many of the people that you'll talk to, some of the people that you may hear from today, actually lived at Fairview and saw the horrific things that happened there. We maintained a board of social control in the state of Oregon. And up through 1983, we in the state of Oregon at Fairview oversaw 2,600 forced sterilizations. These were forced hysterectomies, forced tubal ligations, vasectomies, and even castrations were requirements for discharge from Fairview up through the 1970s. In 2002, then Governor John Kitzhaber issued a formal apology for these human rights violations. And this is a quote from him at that ceremony. I attended that at that time. Governor Kitzhaber said, "Until the mid-1980s, if you could believe that, the staff of the institutions commonly used inhumane devices to restrain or control patients, including leather cuffs and helmets and straitjackets and inappropriately high doses of sedatives and psychotropic medications. Former residents who lived at the institution tell stories of discipline with leather cuffs, cow whips, razor straps, and isolation strategies." When Eastern Oregon Training Center closed, we had a celebration of kind of closing the last institution, and I talked about that on the House floor, and I had there with me one of these leather masks and some of the leather wrist restraints. The production date stamped on those leather restraints was from the late 1990s. So this is a very recent story. There's also a film that you can watch and an oral history project that you can read. And these are a couple of words from people who lived there. One person said, "I was handicapped, but it made me sicker to be there. It was like a prison, handcuffed, shut door. I didn't like it there. People mean." One resident described being disciplined with razor straps. "It stings really bad. They were strict at Fairview. You got beat up, yelled at. They put us in closets. They used our shoes to spank us also. And if you don't behave yourself, they'd get you with the scalding hot water." This was the reality that individuals lived with. I recently heard another story related to some of the paintings, and it's not the woman in my office, but you can come and see a couple of people that lived in the Eastern Oregon Training Center and beautiful portraits hanging in my office. But there's a portrait of a young woman who became pregnant when she was at the institution. She became pregnant because she was repeatedly raped by her caregivers. She was forced to give birth to that child. So these are things that are very difficult. There is a reason that this promise is so sacred. This is a place where people's humanity was violated. If we can use this trust, preserve this trust to make sure that nobody has to live that way again, that we don't violate the dignity of this population of people again, it's the right thing to do. I hope that you will all join me in advocating very strongly to the Ways and Means Committee that we do not take those remaining dollars from the Fairview Housing Trust, that you'll pass this bill that will help us maintain the integrity of that and invest it for better use. And I look forward to continuing to work on these issues. Thanks for letting me bring some very depressing words to you today, and I'm glad to answer any questions that you might have.
Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Melissa. I just wonder, how much money is in the trust now?
It's about $6 million.
So follow up. Mm-hmm. So they swept the whole...
They took about half of it last time, and it will get another deposit. There was an issue. So when the Eastern Oregon Training Center closed and the Blue Mountain Hospital closed, there was a promise made to the city of Pendleton that there would be some economic development incentives that were there. The property that was being developed, and you will have this bill soon, was going to give to the city of Pendleton some Blue Mountain property. At the last minute, some of the property from the Eastern Oregon Training Center was added into that. And under the statutory language of the Fairview Housing Trust, it says that all of the proceeds from the Eastern Oregon Training Center and Fairview would go into this Fairview Housing Trust. So in addition to the $6 million that is there, the presiding officers and co-chairs made a commitment that a fair market value appraisal will be done of that Eastern Oregon Training Center property, and that deposit will be made into the Fairview Housing Trust this session. And Senator Devlin put that on the record on the Senate side when we carried that bill, which is a very important bill for the Pendleton area.
Thank you. Representative Stark.
Thank you, Chair, for the moment. Okay, so I'm make sure I'm tracking this right. We started out with around $12 million. A couple years back, we borrowed $6 million and have failed to pay that back, and now we're talking about stealing the rest. And assuming we can get 6 or 12 of that restored, that's when this bill would go into effect.
Madam Vice Chair, members of the committee. The bill would go into effect right away. We would immediately go back and do that audit of the Secretary of State. I am an optimist. I am choosing to believe that we will not steal that last $6 million out of the trust.
Okay. Follow up?
Yes.
Thank you. So a question on this, though. To my part of the bill here is to, rather than just trying to claim interest, we're actually trying to invest the money and receive earnings. Is there anything that would obligate the state if there is not just not earnings, but a loss of money? So we go through another, you know, depression or something. And so when you invest money, you take on risks. That's why you get earnings, hopefully.
Correct.
So if we lose money in that, are we obligated to repay that as a state?
No.
Excuse me.
And I wanted to follow up. The new investment, if I understand it right now, it's in... very long-term, so the lowest risk, this would move it to a medium risk. So they're still relatively safe investments, but they would actually yield some interest.
Any other questions? Senator Gelster, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd now like to call Catherine White?
Wait,
thank you, and Leslie Sutton.
Madam Vice Chair, for the record, my name is Catherine White, and I'm from Eugene, Oregon. And I'm here to just provide a little bit of additional background about the trust. I was involved in 1999 in the creation of the trust and advocating for the passage of the legislation. And as Senator Gelser explained, this was called the Fairview Trust simply because the amount of money was from the original sale of Fairview, which closed in 2000. So in 1999, we were able to put into statute the fact that if the amount of money that was received from the sale would then be put into the trust. As she mentioned, there's no secret that there was a great deal of abuse, rape, and sterilization that went on. The institution closed in the year 2000. That was when the final person moved out. The Fairview Trust, the Housing Trust, was really an effort to try and bring something good out of what had been very bad policy. And it was the promise that was made to the IDD community. And that promise was a very, very simple one, that the money from the sale of the property would be from any training center would actually be used for community housing, and the proceeds would be guaranteed to be used for housing in perpetuity. And that was a very critical comment that was made at the time and put in the statute, that this was something that was set aside. And it is very hard to really convey the emotion from the people that were involved in 1999 in the passage of this legislation, their lives that were shaped by Fairview. The trust was put in the Treasury's office and to be controlled by the Treasury, primarily to avoid the ups and downs that occurred in general fund in Oregon's state budget. So it was put in that state treasury to be protected. 95% of the money was to be put in the corpus. We were allowed to have 5% of the money and the interest, which was to be used for housing modifications and other kinds of housing. There was a group put together, as Senator Gelsey mentioned. There was a group that made the decisions on how the trust funds would be used. At approximately the same time that that trust was created, in the mental health community, there was a sale of Damish State Hospital, which was in Wilsonville at the time. The money from the sale of Damish was put in a housing trust, and that was never raided. That money is now being used to help develop community housing for people in the mental health community. The need for appropriate and accessible and affordable housing is critical, and there have been changes in both state and federal policy, which really show that we are going to need more and more housing for people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. The new K plan implementation that the state has embarked on is addressing many of the sort of accessibility issues that the trust was used for originally. Now we're looking at the broader picture of housing and the need to use this trust in a much more expansive, a broader way to help support real other housing options for people with developmental and intellectual disabilities. Any questions?
I think we'll wait for Leslie to talk as well, and then we'll take the questions.
Thank you, Chair Peluso, Kenny Geyer, members of the committee. My name is Leslie Sutton, and I'm with the Oregon Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Coalition. We're about 30 organizations that work to improve the lives of people with developmental disabilities in Oregon. We believe in the promise of community housing that is really established in the Fairview Trust. It's in Oregon law, and we believe it's still relevant today, and really needs to be put back in place so people can live in their communities as they were promised. Each budget cycle, the Department of Human Services turns in housing reports as part of their agency request budget. I've looked at those, and so have other stakeholders, and we see some inconsistencies in these reports, and which is one of the reasons that you see the Secretary of State investigation or audit in the bill you're hearing today. It's because we've looked, and there are some inconsistencies, and I want to point out those inconsistencies and also point out that in the last 4 years, the Developmental Disabilities Program at the Department of Human Services has had 4 directors. So by no means is this meant to be kind of a gotcha kind of a thing. This is, we need eyes on this. I don't think we can fix some of the inconsistencies that you're going to hear about today, but I think the point is someone needs to look at this because it hasn't been looked at in a while, and when we do look at it, we see different numbers. So as you've heard, there was the $6.9 million pulled out of the trust, and you've heard about the two loan or the two accounts that are part of the trust itself. At the end of the loan, there was supposed to be $6 million in the 95% account and nothing left in the 5% account. One of the first things we noticed is that in 2011 and 2013 reports, that's how it appears, $6 million in the 95 account and nothing left in the 5%. Now in 2015, all of a sudden, there's only $5 million in the 95 account, 95% account, and there's less than $1 million in the 5% account. I don't know why things are shifting around. As Catherine has mentioned and Senator Gelster mentioned as well, what is important about the 95% account is that's the corpus that is to remain in perpetuity. That's what makes interest. And so if that money is being moved around, number one, I think it, the statute doesn't allow for that. And number two, it means there's less money creating interest that can actually go into the 5% account and help people get housing. So that's one thing we noticed. We've also noticed a difference of about $200,000 in the starting balance in the account starting in 2011. Again, I can't answer why that is. I think someone needs to look at it. Another point is that there's been no interest credited to the account in 4 years. I don't know why that would be either. And finally, the community housing reports indicates that the trust is about $74,000 less than it was in 2013. So if there's been no grants coming out of this, and if there's been no interest earned either, why are we $74,000 less than where we should be? We did ask the department these questions, and they said that in response to the question of why the trust has lost money, they said that the trust hasn't lost money, it's just gained very slowly. And again, I don't understand how that's possible considering that 2011 and 2013 reports show a balance of $6 million, and today we're looking at less than $74,000 less than that. I truly don't know. But I think that really this does prove that someone needs to look at this. Someone needs to find out what happened here. And we do support an investment strategy, obviously, once we get these questions answered, to really maximize this for people. Like I mentioned earlier, we're not going to solve the mysteries of what happened in this trust today, but I really believe that Oregonians with IDD deserve no less than a rigorous examination of this important resource that was promised to them so that they can live as friends and neighbors in their communities. Thank you.
Well, thank you both for your advocacy and all the work you've done on this issue, which is really pretty horrifying to hear. So with that, any questions for our speakers? Representative Gallegos.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Yeah, I just had a question. I don't want a list of all 30, but I was curious about the who are your housing partners? Can you tell us who those might be for the affordable housing?
Sure. Chair Peluso, Kenny Geyer, and Representative Gallegos. We have met with Oregon Housing and Community Services and have met with them several times and talked with them about some of the need. At this time, there are also about 850 beds in what we call Community Integration Project group homes, and those were built with bonds. And those bonds are maturing in the next between 2 and 8 years. So you'll see, you know, a real true need in the community for that. So we've been looking to that. Also, those bonds are held by nonprofit housing providers. Some are housing authorities. Some are housing providers. So we've also been in touch with not all of them, obviously, but a select group. And they're involved in the task force that Senator Gelser referenced, 617. So we are looking broadly and also looking beyond the IDD community to really look at what's happening in affordable housing and how can we really get in and do the best job we can for the next 30 years.
Super. Great. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would now like to call Russ Ryan, Justin Conley, and Ruth Morris.
I didn't write it down.
Welcome, folks, and thanks for being here. Please remember to identify yourself before you
speak.
Okay.
My name is Justin Connolly. I'm a member of the Oregon Self-Advocacy Coalition, and I'm here to ask questions for, or ask Ruth Morris questions and Ross Ryan questions. I'm going to start with Ruth.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but she got to introduce herself.
Yeah, Ruth, could you give us your name, please?
Yes.
I'm Ruth Morris from Springfield, Oregon.
Thank you.
Ross Ryan from Mount Angel.
Thank you.
Okay. What? Okay, did...
What are you going to do?
I'm doing you first.
Okay.
Did you live in Fairview?
Yes, I did. And I wasn't very good when I lived there. I couldn't go shopping. And I couldn't go to movies if I wanted to. I just stayed on the ground.
Okay, what was it like living there?
It was terrible. Because early in the morning, this lady would come around, and if I wasn't out of bed, she would tip the bed and all over on the floor. And of course, I could hear the keys on her. They would rattle. And I didn't like that.
Why was it terrible living at Fairview?
Because it just was terrible.
What had to happen for you to leave Fairview?
I got sterilization. And after I got sterilized, I didn't know what I was signing. So they did sterilization on me. And then after that, Governor Kitzhoffer apologized, and I read my letter to everybody there.
Okay. Did you attend the ceremony when Governor Kitzhoffer apologized to people who had to be sterilized?
Yes, I did.
How did the apology make you feel?
It made me feel good because he apologized.
What was your life like after you left Fairview?
I got a job over in Bend working in a nursing home. So I got to go out in the community, go shopping, whatever.
Great.
Was the Fairview Trust a promise to people with IDD?
Yes, it was.
Why?
Because it was money that people lived in the community could use, like for rents and for getting their house remodeled.
How do you feel about the trust being taken away?
I don't like it. And I want to see it come back.
What would you like the new generation to know about Fairview?
I don't want Fairview to come back.
Is the trust a way of remembering what happened at Fairview?
Yes.
Okay, now I'm... Okay. Why is it important for you to live in your community?
So we can be out in the community and do the things that we want to do and have a house within our own community where we want to live.
Why is it hard to find housing for people with IDD?
Because the way that the money is, that it'd be harder to buy a house on a fixed income. And some of the outlying areas, the houses are too expensive for us to afford.
Can we push that microphone back just a little bit?
Oops.
This way. There you go.
There we go.
Thank you.
Okay. If we don't have affordable housing, what happens?
We'd be out in the street or in a group foster care or worst-case scenario at the state hospital.
How do you see the trust helping people with IDD?
It would give us the money for a house that we could call our own and where we could do our house chores if we can, and we would have a purpose.
How do you feel about the trust being zeroed out?
That was a promise for all Oregonians with IDD or any disabilities by the closing of the Fairview.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the panel? Thank you so much for taking the time to be here. Thanks for sharing the story. It is really impactful coming from you guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else for the good of the order, my colleagues? Senator Gelser, thank you so much for bringing this all forward. Everybody that's been here and supportive, that is what Oregon's about. I really appreciate that we got a beaver and a duck hat here represented, so we're very impartial. So with that, we will close the public hearing and call it a day.
Do you want to make
one quick from the other side. And so we will not be meeting on Friday. Please do keep every other Friday open to having a hearing. But when we don't need it, we won't be meeting. We'll let you know. So we adjourn the House Committee on Human Services and Housing.
All right. Human Services and Housing.